for my edition of Farmer Friday today. I've got an individual over there by Wattier, Iowa, Corey Vandenhoevel. Corey, thanks for being with me again today on KIIC.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate what you guys do, for sure.
Absolutely. I'm just guessing, but the harvest is in full swing over there near Wattier. Give us a little bit of a rundown of what's been happening since last time we talked.
Last time we talked was about the middle of the summer, and since then the rain is kind of shut off, not bad, but here recently, the last few weeks, the rain has definitely shut off. We're very dry as far as soil conditions go. Harvest for a lot of guys is starting to wind down a little bit. The beans are pretty much gone for the most part, and the corn is dwindling down very fast. We had a beautiful little shower this morning. It's Tuesday morning here, and we had a couple tenths of rain, which is very, very blessed to have it. Get the gravel road dust down a little bit, all that stuff that's needed.
Yeah, that's great. Great thing about that moisture, it helps out in so many different ways. You talk about that dust, you talk about getting into the soil profile as well. The beans being done, that's nice to hear, because of the fact that the longer those stay out in the field, the greater percentage chance of it, those pods popping because it's getting too dry. So it's good to see or hear that soybeans are being taken care of.
Yeah. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a very unexpected rain, and it came at about 2:15 in the morning, and I was laying in bed, and it brought a lot of hail with it, right when a ton of soybeans were ripe, and I heard of some 10 to 25% losses due to ripe soybeans and hail hitting them, was busting them out of the pods, and I ran outside, you know, that night to put bin lids on and cover up some things that needed done, and the hail was about, some of them was about as big as a quarter, a lot of them the size of a nickel, but it was very unexpected, and turned the grass 85 to 90% white, I guess, when I ran back in the house.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's untimely for sure, because that can create all sorts of damage, as well as to the soybean crop, as well as the corn crop as well.
Yeah. The corn crop, I think, is a little bit more hardy as far as the hail coming, but a soybean crop is very, very vulnerable. The pods don't provide a lot of protection for them, but there was a lot of beans laying on the ground I heard folks talk about. So
that's sad, because there's no way to get those back up off of there.
No, once a crop is built, it seems like it only shrinks if you don't get it harvested timely.
That's a good way to put it. So you guys yourselves, how much corn you got left?
We're very fortunate. We finished up last Thursday. The season was kind of like that song, Sunrise, Sunset, Repeat. It was just every day the sun shined. It was beautiful temperatures. The ground was dry, and we just 6 days, take a Sunday off, 6 days, take a Sunday off, and it just kept repeating, and we were fortunate that way, and we got finished up last Thursday.
That's phenomenal to have, because of the fact that you want to get stuff done, for sure. I'm talking with Corey Vandenhoevel for my edition of Farmer Friday. Corey's over there around the Wattier area, and I'm assuming you're pleased with the yields, and maybe they probably even tickled over 300, and give us some information on that if you can.
Good crop. There were some fields that were better than last year, and generally speaking, I think a lot of guys are maybe just a little bit off from last year. But last year we had a kind of a fairy tale crop. It was just enormous. So coming off of that is maybe just a freckle letdown, but still a wonderful, wonderful crop. You know, it always comes with its challenges. And in June, we had plenty of moisture, and it kind of went through the ugly duckling stage for a little longer than we normally like to see it. But at the end of the day, the corn crop was good. Like I say, just a freckle off of last year as whole farm averages are. And the beans were just a freckle off of last year, but what a wonderful crop.
Go ahead and talk about tillage operations then? If you've got the corn crop out, have you started to do any tillage, or do you wait till springtime to mess with that?
We have certain fields that we like to till, the ones that are going to go from corn stalks back to corn. We like to get a good tillage pass on them, and the ground is hard, very, very hard right now, as you can imagine. And there is a lot of residue coming off of a good crop, just a lot of residue you got to deal with. And yeah, we're starting that. It's in full swing right now, but it wears on your tillage equipment greatly when it's this dry.
I was going to mention that excessive wear for sure, because of the fact that it pulls hard through the soil there. It does take a toll on the equipment. My goodness.
Yes, it's very abrasive and very, you know, you don't think of the moisture as being a lubricant, but it kind of is also. And it's good to till when it's dry, because you break up all the compaction and it's a good time to do it, but it comes with its pros and it comes with its cons. And, you know, you got to make hay when the sun shines, right? And right now we've got dry ground, and we have had years where we've had to till in the mud, and that's not fun either. And so we're just taking steps forward, I guess.
That's a good point. I'm talking with Corey Vandenhoevel for my edition of Farmer Friday. He works over there at Wattcheer area. There they've got some ground. What about fertilizer applications? You going to hit that as well before the snow flies?
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm sitting in a tractor with our fertilizer spreader behind it as we speak. We do spread over the top on some fields, that especially the ones that we deep rip and stuff like that. And then we have another fertilizer applicator that injects it into the ground and bands on some farms that we don't do a lot of tillage to, just to get that fertilizer into the ground, try to make it not vulnerable for washing off if it rains hard or something like that, and putting it in strips so the crop can take it up a little better next year, I guess you might say. So that's kind of what we do for our fall fertilizer, and then waiting on some really cold temperatures and probably a little more moisture to start any type of fall anhydrous application.
I mean, you know as good as well as I do, as a steward of the land, you don't want it to be running off into the creeks. You want to apply this fertilizer so that it's used for your crop, you know, the following spring, you know. So you don't want to apply something that's going to be wasteful. That's something in the back of farmers' minds that people sometimes don't realize, that they take that into consideration.
Yeah, you know, sometimes farmers get a black eye for fertilizing their crops and stuff like that. But when you really think about it, us growers, we spend an awful lot of money to rent this land or to purchase it, invest thousands or even millions of dollars that way. And then we turn around and we buy fertilizer that is, you know, anywhere from $400 to $800 a ton and apply it out here. So we're investing immense amount of money, and we don't want that to go anywhere except for where we want it. No different than anybody else in this, you know, in this world. Generally speaking, we do take a lot of precautions of trying to, you know, get it in the right place at the right time, and you know, it just costs too much to not try to do that. So we do take a lot of effort into making that happen.
You may have done this already, but if you haven't, when is it going to happen? Have you planned for next year already with seed selection? Have you thought about that already and have made the order for that seed?
So, yeah, a lot of growers, I think, are doing that now. I typically do it while I'm harvesting. That way I can see the plant that I'm harvesting and evaluate it right then and there whether I want to use it again next year. There are thousands of options that you have, and it's just easier for me when I'm in the combine and I'm looking at the plant. Hey, do I like the way it's standing? Do I like the way, of course, the way it's yielding? Do I like it in rougher dirt? Do I like it in the better dirt? It's just easier for me to do it while I'm harvesting, and I take my, I'm pretty old school. I still have a notebook that I write down everything in, and then at the end of harvest, I kind of go back and read through my notes, and I've pretty much made my seed selection already.
That's a great idea to keep records on that. It makes a lot of sense. And you can, like you said, if you're combining and it's standing up, it's not falling over or lodging, that's a big plus in a lot of people's book, because there's no sense having crop corn that's laying on its side. It's hard to pick up. Tell us a little bit about your niece before we let you go. The Sigourney FFA was able to advance to the state soil judging. Talk a little bit about her and how you guys helped her out a little bit.
Well, so Kinsey is her name, and it's my brother's daughter, youngest daughter. She's looking, when she graduates, is to go into college in some type of agricultural, and I think she's still trying to find her fit exactly, but that's what she wants to do. And she got into soil judging this year, and it was something she picked up on very easily, it seemed like, to her, and very smart girl, and she needed more practice, she thought. So we took the backhoe, and my brother dug, a couple pits, which took effort to dig, 4 and 5 foot deep holes right now, but he did that for her. Her and the whole team qualified to go down to Oklahoma to a national soil judging. A couple other schools, Kyoto, did very well up in this area, and they're going to have a very good representation of this area down in, and I believe it's in Oklahoma, so very proud of her.
Yeah, it's near Oklahoma City. I've had the pleasure of getting down there once, so they were in the top 5 at the state soil judging, and it's one of those experiences that you never forget, because you've got some soil to judge, obviously, but you also get to do some sightseeing, and it was very, very interesting to see different things in a different area, that's for sure. Congratulations to Sigourney as well as Kyoto for that. I've been chatting with Corey VandenHeuvel for my edition of Farmer Friday. Corey, thanks again for being with me here on KIIC.
You bet. Appreciate it.